The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
You're goddamn right it is. This is the Answer of the Week, and I'm Joe Patrick. Sitting across from me is Keith Binder. Matt Bomb's gone.
Hey, guys.
Who cares about that asshole?
Man, he's too busy being a rock star to come hang out with y'all.
That's right. This is the Answer of the Week, where we post the question of the week, and you guys send us answers. You dig? It's easy. We love it. You love it. It's the best show on the internet. Let's get right to it. This week's question came courtesy of Cross, a user on our forums, who wants to know what is our favorite live-action television program from our childhoods.
So hard.
Not cartoons now.
Not cartoons.
And I took that to mean like something related to our shared interests, you know, like action, adventure, sci-fi, that sort of thing. But who knows?
Yeah.
Let's see what the listeners come up with.
Is Cross's first name maybe Chris?
No. He's totally crossed out, whoever he is.
Yeah, he is. I like it. I like this guy.
First up is Lord Stephen Fino, the Master of Coin, who says, hello. Attached is my answer to the question of the week, bringing back memories from when I was just little Lord Stevie,
Fondler?
Master of Pennies.
Master of Pennies. Great.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Hello again, this is Lord Stephen, Master of Coin, sending in my answer to the question of the week. When I looked at the shows I watched frequently as a child, and for the point of this question, I'm saying that my childhood is from my earliest memories in 1998 to 2005 when I went to high school or middle school, rather. I primarily watched cartoons during that time. So for this question, there isn't much to choose from. There were a lot of sketch comedy shows that were really big on Nickelodeon at the time. But the one show that I could think of that I really loved was a show called Are You Afraid of the Dark? The show was an anthology horror series about a group of kids calling themselves the Midnight Society who would go out at night into the woods and tell horror stories while sitting around the campfire. Each episode was a different horror story told by one of the kids, and they would range from all different kinds of topics. You'd have stories about vampires, ghosts, aliens, any type of horror imaginable within reason of child entertainment. And I would really love this series. It was the start of my lifelong love of horror movies and TV shows and books. And if I saw an episode that particularly interested me, I would go to Hollywood Video or Blockbuster, which was still around at the time, and I would say, I'm looking for a movie with this sort of plot about aliens taking over the lives of people. And they would say, oh, how about The Thing by John Carpenter? So through the show, I watched a lot of my what ended up being my favorite movies. So Are You Afraid of the Dark is my pick. See ya.
Sounds good.
Never saw it.
I'm not afraid of the dark. And I'm not a huge fan of horror movies, but I like The Thing. So maybe it's something I should revisit, because if it turned him on to that, I like that kind of stuff. It's good stuff.
Are You Afraid of the Dark? Just kind of, I remember seeing it, but I think it was after my time.
Yeah, I didn't get Nickelodeon until like 2005.
Shut up about your weird ass childhood, Keith.
It's not weird. It's called poorness.
Look, man, we were poor and I still got to see Nickelodeon sometimes.
You lucky bastard. I went outside and played as a child.
Oh, don't even.
I'm terrible.
Yeah, like, I liked Nickelodeon a lot when I was a kid, but once it started getting into live action stuff, like for me, I stopped watching live action Nickelodeon shows after You Can't Do That on Television from the early 80s. So that is, Steven entered high school the year I graduated high school. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to think about that too much more.
Good answer though.
Next up, we're just going to keep it rolling. We're doing it live. We're not stopping for errors. This is a raw show. We got Randy Andrews.
Randall.
You know he put a theme song in there.
You know it. Does it correspond, though?
Joe and Matt, this is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked, what is your favorite live-action TV show from childhood? Well, guys, I have but one answer. MacGyver, the one and only. Richard Dean Anderson was great for the role, dealing with the Russians and other hooligans throughout the series, fixing problems with whatever was lying around, such as a roll of duct tape and a paperclip. He went on to do several other MacGyver movies and even had a comic recently. Yes, guys, that's it for today. Hope you liked it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net, and we'll see you in a week. Bye for now.
46 seconds.
That is on point.
Randy, you did it, my friend.
Wow. Record time. And MacGyver.
Angus MacGyver.
MacGyver, it was almost my answer. Such a good show.
It was a good show. I didn't see a lot of it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like watch it serialized. I watched it when it was on.
Yeah.
And I was in front of a television.
Super fun. Great answer, Randy. Great sound. Great theme song.
You're killing it, bro.
Moving along to Tim Benson.
Tim Benson always sounds a little stoned. I like it. Tim knows I love it.
Hey, favorite TV show. So I didn't really watch a lot of TV when I was a kid.
Daredevil wasn't on.
But I don't really have a live action TV show. I mean, the first thing that I really looked forward to watching, I think I was already in like eighth grade and I was watching like Star Trek reruns or something. So I don't really have a favorite live action, but my best friend totally had one and he still loves the character, but the old Hulk, you know, TV show with Lou and the movies. And one day he made me watch, you know, the trial of the Incredible Hulk. And so there it is. There's my Daredevil there. All right. Thanks, guys.
Also 46 seconds.
Oh my God.
On the dot. He worked Daredevil in there.
He did. Yep.
He kept it under a minute. Tim Benson.
Tim.
He's gunning for favorite call. But the Incredible Hulk, I hated
me
the
too.
Incredible Hulk as a kid because it was so scary to me.
Oh, really? I just thought it was dumb.
When the Incredible Hulk was on in its original run, I was very young, like four or 5 years old. And I was terrified of it, especially of the transformation scenes.
Oh, right.
But later on, when they started doing the TV movies, I got super into it. Trial of the Incredible Hulk, yes, had Daredevil and the Kingpin.
Never seen it.
The Return of the Incredible Hulk TV movie had Thor in it. It's awful.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
I love it so much.
Tim, I think you could have gone with Star Trek reruns. That is fine. That'd be fine, my friend.
It's okay. It's okay. I appreciated the fact that he gave his answer to a friend. He gets extra points for that, too.
That's pretty cool. Friendship.
All right. We're going to the Google voicemail. Uh-oh. And the transcript thinks that this caller is named Boys to LOL. Like the boy band Boys to Men, but with LOL at the end of it.
That needs to be a band.
Boys to LOL. Let's see what they have to say, whoever they are.
Hi, boys. Zach Hollowell calling in for the call of the week. One of my favorite shows when all throughout my life was The Twilight Zone. But there was something in the 80s that I thought was particularly special. There was this little Steven Spielberg produced show called Amazing Stories that I thought was great. Some of my two favorite episodes, actually, there's one with Mark Hamill, which, you know, hey, Luke Skywalker's going to be in a show. Great, right? Where he, like, saves a little leprechaun when he's a kid, and the leprechaun tells him not to throw anything away, and he becomes, like, this crazy hoarder guy. And it winds up at the end, everything he's collected is, like, this mega collection of super rich stuff. So he essentially wastes his entire life, but to be rich for the last 2 years of his life, which really didn't seem like a big payout to me. But my absolute favorite episode, one that I can't find anywhere, is there's this kid who's like the scientist, and he develops this goo that's a blue goo and a pink goo. And he figures out if he takes pictures of like girls from magazines, and he puts the goo on them, they'll come to life. And he kisses them, they'll stay. But if he doesn't, they'll melt back down into goo. And it's him experimenting with it. And at first, he doesn't put enough goo on the pictures, and the girl's all skeletal and gross. And the next one, he puts too much goo on, and she winds up being like a professional wrestler version of the girl who's trying to kill him. And then he screws up and puts it on a picture of a girl, but it's the right amount, but it's only the girl from the torso up. So he's got like this bisected girl like writhing around on this floor. It's a really great episode. I actually love it. I've been squirting goo on pictures of girls for years trying to make this happen, and I just can't seem to get the right amounts, I guess.
Oh, my God.
But that's my answer. Amazing Stories. I think it's on Netflix, actually, now, most of the episodes anyway. You should really check it out if you haven't seen it. It's pretty good. See you, boys. Love the show. Keep it up. Bye.
You got to really change your diet if you want it to be blue, my friend.
Oh, dude, that is like, whoever wrote that episode was really messing with people.
I'm stunned because whenever anyone brings up Amazing Stories and they're like, yeah, and then there was this one episode, and it almost inevitably is the one where the kid draws things that come to life, and he is in a World War II bomber, and he draws the landing gear so that the plane lands safely. Everyone brings up that episode. Yeah. Kudos, Zach. Kudos.
Very good.
Amazing Stories is wonderful.
I have never seen Amazing Stories.
Oh, man. It's great.
Yeah.
Amazing it's on Stories Netflix? Is awesome. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to check that out.
I hated the Twilight Zone. I mean, if we're talking about the 80s Twilight Zone.
Right.
Oh, man. There was an episode of the Twilight Zone, and I think it was called Grandma.
That just sounds unsettling.
Yeah, and it was about this kid whose grandma was some sort of like Lovecraftian Cthulhu monster.
What?
And I am obviously really fudging the recollection, but I remember being so scared of it. And I remember exactly where I was when I saw it. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was at my great aunt Doty's house.
Great aunt Doty.
Yeah. Oh, man. And I think that might be why I'm not too fond of her these days. To this day. That's not true.
Sorry, Grant and Doty.
That's not true. It's not true. Zach, thank you for your call.
Zach, that was awesome.
We're moving right on to Anthony from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
You know, he liked some television when he was young in Brooklyn. That was just the worst Brooklyn accent.
Well, yeah, you were killing it, but, you know.
I don't know what happened.
Well, sometimes it's hard to jump into those things.
Hello, nerds. If you grew up when I did, and if you loved action-adventure shows, as I did, I feel like you could almost choose your favorite by who had the best vehicle. The Fall Guy had that dope truck. The A-Team had that cool van. Mm-hmm. Michael Knight had Kit.
Oh.
Buck Rogers had a spaceship. His buddy Hawk had a spaceship, too, and it was even shaped like a hawk, which is a bit on the nose or the beak. So, which of those is my favorite? None, you fools, because superpowers beat vehicles any day. So my favorite show growing up, unquestionably, The Greatest American Hero. For the uninitiated, it's about a high school teacher who finds an alien supersuit, and he promptly loses the instruction manual. So he still has superpowers when he wears the suit, but he doesn't know how to access them properly. And hilarity ensued. Now, he teamed up with cantankerous FBI agent Bill Maxwell, masterfully played by Robert Culp, to fight crime. And who could forget his girl Friday, Connie Selica.
Oh, Connie Selica. America's Connie girlfriend. Selica.
And to top it all off, it had maybe the greatest television theme song of all time, even reaching number 2 on the Billboard music charts. And I know you guys know it, so sing it with me. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free.
I don't actually know all the words.
Flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me, Anthony from Brooklyn.
Well done, Anthony.
Bye.
That was, took us into a medley. I love
it. That was amazing.
That is going to sound terrible when I listen to it. I'm going to be so ashamed.
Nope. Embrace it, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, look at this. Special addendum to Anthony's call.
Anthony, stick around for next week's call. or next week's show. I think you got an answer already.
Oh, dang. Yeah, I think you're primed and ready, buddy. Anthony says, my kids were with me when I recorded, and they wanted to talk to you.
Oh, buddy.
Here we go. Anthony's kids.
Hey, guys. So my daughter was sitting with me when I was recording my submission for the show, and she also wanted to share with you her favorite show. So we're talking to Joe and Matt, Amelia. What? So Joe and Matt of Two-Headed Nerd.
Joe and Matt?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Joe and Matt?
They're the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd.
I don't know them.
Impossible. They host the Two-Headed Nerd comic cast.
I did not know that.
Well, now you do. So who are the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic cast?
Nerd.
Keith. What are their names?
Nerd.
Their name is not Nerd.
No, that's good.
What's their names?
I don't know their names.
Joe and Matt.
Joe and Matt.
Who are they?
The comic writers.
Well, I wish.
The nerds. Nerds.
All right, so yeah, they're awesome dudes. So, what's your favorite show?
Matt's been replaced.
Phineas and Ferb.
Phineas and Ferb. Why is
that
your favorite
not live
show?
Action.
Because the Bill Cole Stuppin and their platypus isn't any kind of platypus. It's a secret agent, and he has this TV screen. And you know what? He fights Dr. Doofenshmirtz, and he's Agent P.
Okay, cool. That sounds like a great show. Hey, Oliver. Come here. Oliver.
The Bill Cole stuff. That's why I like it.
What's your favorite show, dude?
Bunny's feet. Bunny's feet. And Bunny's feet can help somebody and he like to help. And when there's a fish in the water, Bunny helps the fish in the water.
All right, cool. So can you do me a favor? Say goodbye to Joe and Matt.
Bye,
Matt. All right, later, guys.
That was awesome.
That was my favorite thing to have ever happened on this program.
I legitimately love listening to kids that age explain stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That they love. It's amazing. And I'm not a kid guy. I love that, though. That was amazing. If Matt cuts that out, he is a heartless monster.
We're following up Anthony's kids with a call from our good friend, the Orca.
Oh, no. Palate cleanser, that was.
I'm really sorry, Anthony. That was a wonderful call, and thank you for introducing your kids to us. They sound really wonderful.
Anthony, if your kids want to hear themselves, don't let them listen to after their...
Yes, cut them off immediately at this point now.
Yeah.
Though, seriously, though, Phineas and Ferb with the Secret Agent Platypus. Sounds pretty great.
That sounds awesome.
The Orca!
We didn't have television when I was a kid.
There
the
it is.
The first I heard about it was when I got back from the war in 45. But as Matthew mentioned last week, we move a little slower up here in Maine. And it wasn't until the late 70s that you started to see TVs pop up in the trailer parks and cabins that dot our wooded lands. I will give you an answer, though, in order to participate. And once again, I'll draw upon a time that I spent with one of my numerous illegitimate offspring. Another comic-inspired name that I insisted upon, my little cocoa cherub, Mandy Whaler. Mandy's mother was what nowadays we're supposed to call African-American, which here in Maine back then was pretty exotic. I met her down at my favorite bar and pool hall called the Corner Pocket. One thing led to another, and I was in her corner pocket. 9 months later, I'm feeding little Mandy a bottle, watching the minutes tick by until our favorite show'd come on. See, Mandy was sort of orca like herself. Mostly black, but a little white if you look closely. With her mixed heritage, I thought it was important she get a little culture. Here in Maine, the old boob tube was our only avenue. We'd watch that black midget kid and the Jeffersons and whatnot. But back then, shows was either all white or all black. And I was looking for a show that mixed races. That led me to the best buddy show, the most integrated program available. Our beloved Chips. Mandy and I would laugh at Ponch, we'd cheer John Baker, and we cried when Officer Jebediah got killed by that cement truck. We still make the pilgrimage to the Robert Pine Fan Club annual meeting together. There's some great father-daughter time, and Chips was a classic. Speaking of buddies, first I go and tick off my idol Wooly Toots, then I anger his little Ponch, Sean X, two of the elder statesmen with the answer of the week. I'm sorry if my tails ruffle your feathers, and I'm sorry if I talk all slowish in my advanced age, but let me say this. No one complains if we hear yet another X-Men or Conan answer. The truth is, we love the extras you find gents bring, and are entertained by your calls and insight and humor. So let's bury the hatchet here. I'll try to keep it reasonable, simply out of respect for your wit and entertainment. If other listeners want me to shorten it up or clean it up, I'm all ears. You can email me directly at STFU. I'm 90 years old and will talk as long as I f***ing want. And when it's your show, you can cut me off at SaveTheOrca.org. Kiss, kiss.
I love it.
Strong finish, the Orca.
Calling him out.
Strong finish. Chips. And that's right. You know what? The people love you, Orca. Don't let them tell you any different.
And that is a progressive answer. Like, shockingly progressive.
I like Chips when I saw
it. I mean, just his finding of it.
Yeah.
No, he talked about he wanted something, you know, that mixed it up a bit. And I was like, you know.
I take everything the Orca says with a huge grain of salt. Oh, yeah, so totally. I don't know if anything in that story is true.
But it was a progressive story.
But I like how we got there. Chips is a fine program. It gave us Eric Estrada.
It gave us Taylor Kitsch's character on True Detective Season 2.
And without Chips and Eric Estrada, we would not have Marco from C-Lab.
Oh, God. Oh,
sounds like someone needs a dose of vitamin M.
It's the best.
Thank you, the Orca. You are a national treasure.
For real.
Our buddy D. Murray's back.
D. Murray.
He couldn't add the music. That's okay. We understand. Not everyone has the means. I feel like he would have if he could have.
Yeah, he wanted to do it.
And I appreciate that.
How's it going, guys? I immediately wanted to say my answer was going to be Family Matters and like the entire TGIF lineup as non-animated TV shows. But then I started thinking for a bit. And then I saw the post that Matt made about one of my coolest and absolute favorite shows, Lois and Clark. And that's my answer.
Ooh.
Lois and Clark, Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher. I love that show. I loved every single episode. I'm looking at every four seasons that I have right now. And then Dean Cain had to get selfish and want more money. And then the show had to get canceled and the ratings had to go down. And then the wedding happened and no one freaking watched it. Now I'm ranting. Anyways, that's my favorite show. Take it easy, guys.
D was offended.
Oh, yeah.
Well, by Matt. And I am with him, man. I like Lois and Clark.
Lois and Clark was fine. Dean Cain, kind of a terrible human sometimes. Whatever. He's, you know.
Whatever.
He's a conservative. He wanted more money. That's just how it works, I guess.
Dean Cain's a conservative.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you not know that?
No.
I am very excited to see him coming up in Supergirl.
Yeah.
I think that's a fun nod.
Yes. That. D sent a link to the Lois and Clark theme song, but it won't play.
Oh, no. I don't remember the Lois and Clark theme song. Somebody save me. No.
Here we go.
Oh, all right. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. It's taking me way back.
Oh, yeah. They really tried to get that John Williams theme.
It is very John Williams-y.
Yeah.
And he leaves his hand imprint on the bus.
Yep.
That is, you're not being a good steward of your secret identity, Clark.
No, Clark.
D, thanks for your call. I'm with you, buddy. Love it.
Nothing wrong with it.
Who do we got next? Who do we got? Who do we got?
You tell me, bro.
Hey.
Hey, hey.
Long time no here. It's Elise Wisdom.
Elise. I think she sent me this.
Hello, nerds. It's Elise Wisdom. Today's answer is The X-Files. The show began in 1993, but I wasn't introduced to it until around 1997 when 12-year-old me stumbled upon a rerun called Squeeze while I was home alone at night.
No!
Squeeze was an episode where that creepy guy, Green Mile, would squeeze himself through vents into your room and eat your liver.
No!
I didn't know the sponge was supposed to be wet. It was just the right amount of scary for me. Scary enough to get me to use a lava lamp as a nightlight and keep me coming back for more, but not so scary as to traumatize me. I continued watching reruns while I was supposed to be asleep, and eventually graduated to watching new episodes on Sundays. While I quickly got into the science fiction conspiracy theory storylines, my favorite episodes were always the occasional oddballs thrown in without any need for previous explanation. Episodes like the one where Bruce Campbell was a demon, or that one where the weatherman's feelings became the weather and it hailed hearts for Victoria Jackson. But my favorite episode of all time was the one where Mulder and Scully go to that town where Luke Wilson was the sheriff and everyone was a vampire, including the ginger kid from the Sandlot. I quit watching after Scully had a kid and Mulder was replaced by the T-1000, but before then it was undoubtedly my favorite show. I want to believe the show's return will be as great as the original first seasons, but I don't have very high hopes. The music today is the X-Files theme played by a guy on YouTube who seems super into playing the accordion. I put a link to the video in the forums in case anybody wants to check it out. Wisdom out.
Well, oh yeah. Don't be worried. I think the new show is going to be great.
Listen, that episode of the X-Files is the first episode of the X-Files that I saw. And my sister and I were home alone.
Oh, no.
And I am still traumatized by it.
Oh, no.
Eugene Toombs? No. F*** that guy. And he grew up to be Looney Bin Jim on Punisher Warzone.
Oh, man, yeah.
Double f*** that guy.
The only thing I'm bummed about the new episodes is that Vince Gilligan just didn't have time. And Chris Carter asked him. And he was like, I just got Better Call Saul. I can't do it. I can't multitask.
He's got that Breaking Bad money, yo.
He's real bummed. He wanted to do it. And I'm like, oh, man, more Vince Gilligan on X-Files would have been great. I think the new show is going to be great. X-Files, one of the best shows of all time. Yeah, I said it.
All right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Almost my answer, but, you know.
Yeah, but. All right. Hey, it's been a while, but we have.
It's been a while.
The return of the Warbringer.
Oh, jeez.
What's up, nerds? It's me. It's Warbringer. I've been gone for a little while, but, you know, I moved. Had a baby. I'm going to turn her into a nerd.
Mazel tov.
Like you do. Anyway, I'm coming back for this week. And I want to talk about a show that I loved as a child. I was born in the 80s, but, you know, grew up in the 90s. But one show that stuck in my mind that was live action was the original 1960s Batman. It's what got me into the character. It's what got me into comic books, if I'm being honest. That was my first exposure to any kind of comic book related anything, followed by the original 90s Flash TV show. I think those two shows made me a DC kid, and I appreciate what they were, and I can still watch them to this day. Maybe more the 60s Batman than the Flash. I mean, let's be honest, the 90s Flash show was bull, but anyway,
awesome.
That's my answer, and I guess I'm back. So, anyway, keep it nerdy.
Later. Who's back, baby? That was a terrible Bender impression.
Yeah, that was bad. Welcome back to Warbringer.
Warbringer. Hey. More like Baby Bringer.
Batman.
Mazel tov.
Batman 66, man. I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't mad.
Batman 66 is great. Like, once you, like, get over your, like, angst of being a teenager and you're like, oh, Tim Burton's Batman's amazing. No, it's the same thing. It's just dark.
I feel like I did not appreciate it fully as a kid, but as an adult, I can look back on it and recognize, oh man, yeah, that show was.
And I mean,
that show was so fun.
Batman in the 60s, very much like that show.
It's true.
Like that show. And Cesar Romero is amazing. I miss it a little bit.
It's funny that Cesar Romero was such a famous actor.
Yeah.
Like, Cesar Romero was the most famous actor on that show.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Which is not something that, even when we were watching it in reruns as kids, we did not really recognize. Because at that point, we'd seen, you know, Burgess Meredith went on to do Rocky.
Yeah, yeah,
we'd seen Frank Gorshin and other things.
Yeah.
And so, we did not realize how famous, how big a deal. It's like if they made that movie, if they made that show in the 80s and Sean Connery was the Joker.
Yeah, for sure.
He refused to shave off his mustache, and they were like, "Yes, sir, Mr. Romero. Where would you like the grease paint?"
Exactly.
I love it. Yeah. I think it's so good.
He was great. He was great. I don't even care.
I would like an 80s version of Batman 66 with Sean Connery as the Joker.
I would watch the hell out of that. Be better than Jared Leto.
Oh boy.
That's a discussion for another day.
Dan Dashley's back. We don't got time for crabbing. It's Dan Dashley.
Greetings, true believers. Dan Dashley here, host of Dan Dashley Discusses, Omaha's 256th most popular YouTube comic book review. And it is time for another answer of the week. This week's question was, what was your favorite live-action TV show? Well, luckily, true believers, I get to answer this question and keep it comic book related. My favorite TV show is the one, the only... That's right, I'm talking about the Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Wow.
Power Rangers, for kids who thought they were too cool for Power Rangers.
Wow.
Nothing quite captures that mid to late 90s sob on feel than the Big Bad Beetleborgs. And to prove it, here's a dramatic reading of the synopsis for season one. Set in the fictional town of Charterville, three typical average kids, Drew, Joe, and Roland, enter the supposedly haunted Hillhurst Mansion after accepting a dare from rich snobs Van and Trip. The house is revealed to be the home of real monsters when the kids accidentally bump a pipe organ, releasing a phantasm named Flabber. He proves to be friendly and in return for releasing him offers to grant them one wish. They wish to become their favorite comic book heroes, the Big Bad Beetleborgs. However, this also brings the Big Bad Beetleborgs' sworn enemies to life. The Magnavores, led by the evil Vexor, who would summon monsters from the comic book to battle the Beetleborgs. So yeah, it's that combination of Saban silliness, atrocious 90s CGI, and a really interesting mix of comic book art styles into the show that made Big Bad Beetleborgs really stick out as one of my favorites as a kid. To be perfectly frank, I might not remember most of the episodes, but I remember really liking it, and I think deep down, that's what counts. Plus, I mean, the soundtrack is bumping. Are you listening to this? All right, true believers, so my 2 minutes is almost up, so I'm going to sign off for now, and here's hoping I didn't spark a Power Rangers versus Big Bad Beetleborgs fight in the forums. So until next week, this is Dan Dashley signing off and saying thanks for listening, true believers.
What? Big Bad Beetleborgs?
Big Bad Beetleborgs.
What?
Listen.
How old am I?
You are... How old are you?
I'm 33.
You might be a little old for Beetleborgs.
Okay. Because I was a little old for, like, well, I don't know if I was a little old for Power Rangers, but when it was on, I
Beetleborgs came after Power Rangers. Okay. When Power Rangers was so popular that there was a
offshoots
rain of spinoffs.
Okay.
And Beetleborgs was one of them. VR Troopers. Oh. All sorts of bullshit.
Somewhat remember VR Troopers.
I've never, Dan, this isn't a, I don't mean to start a fight because you're welcome to your opinion. I've never met anyone who picked Beetleborgs over Power Rangers.
I've never met anybody who said that their favorite live action show would be anything like a Power Rangers show. Except, oh, Chris Davis. If he is listening, Chris Davis, Power Ranger fan number one. That dude's crazy.
He's a number one fan of a lot of questionable things.
Yeah, but I love him because he does not care.
No, he doesn't. Dan, great answer.
Great fidelity.
Your calls are always crystal clear, and that theme song was bumping.
It was super bumping.
Ladies,
is bumping a thing that kids say?
We're saying it, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, we're old, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Toots time!
Toots time!
Hey, guys, I'm sitting at the bus stop, so I'm not going to scream Toots time, because people will probably think I'm crazy.
They already do.
Whatever. So for the answer of the week... You know, growing up in the 70s and 80s was kind of like the heyday of live-action TV. I mean, there was such great SWAT, Fridays, The Hulk, Bionic Man, Creature Feature, so much stuff that there's so much that I can't even remember at all. But I'll tell you this much. There was one show that I loved so much that whenever I did what was once referred to as a slumber party at somebody's house, I would make sure that their parents woke me up early enough for me to watch The Land of the Lost.
Wow.
I had to see The Land of the Lost.
Wow.
No matter what. Man, I love The Land of the Lost. The Sleestaks, Grumpy the T-Rex, Chaka, Ta, Sa. Oh, man. Marshall, Will, and Holly. I'll tell you this much. I even liked the remake they did, the comedy, with the kid from Lonely Island and the guy from Eastbound and Down and the newscaster with the mustache. Holy shit.
You know his name is
that
Will Ferrell.
That movie is hilarious. The original show is so much fun and crazy. That has to be it. That's what I love the most. I'm sorry, Duke Boys, and your racist car, and your sister's really hot shorts, but Land of the Lost, baby. That's got it.
I remember Land of the Lost pretty fondly.
The Land of the Lost, man. How is my beard grayer than that grandpa's? Like, he is super old.
Yeah, Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition. Blah, 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 blah. Land of the Lost.
yada, yada, yada.
You got, yeah, you got weird-ass Chaka. You got some lizard sleestack dudes. It's bonkers. You got some crazy stop-motion animation. It's a fun show. I never saw the remake with Will Ferrell.
Was Ray Harryhausen involved in that show?
I doubt it.
You never know. The guy's got to make his money.
I doubt it, man. I've seen Clash of the Titans, and this ain't no Clash of the Titans, all right?
Oh, man. Well, good call, Toots. Good to hear from you.
Well, do not automatically play the Gummy Bears theme. Thank you very much.
Shut up, YouTube, or whatever you're on.
Though I did love Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, Dukes of Hazzard is great. And I'm like, ugh.
Look, the Rebel Flag, yes, it's bad. It's bad. Yeah. I'm glad that it's gone. Two-headed Nerd firmly stands on the side of get rid of the Confederate flag.
But here's my thing.
But it wasn't about race on the Dukes of Hazzard.
No, and are you going to go back into Gods and Generals and take out the Rebel Flag of everywhere? Like, I mean, there's... Come
different
on.
Different podcast, Keith. The same political stance. I'm just saying that I think it's okay to enjoy the Dukes of Hazzard.
Exactly.
For the innocent program that it was.
And it gave us Tom Schneider. Tom Schneider?
John Schneider.
John Schneider and Tom...
Wopat.
Wopat, thank you. Who recreated their roles on an episode of Smallville, and it was glorious. Yeah, I'm still into that show.
Yeah, you dumbass.
What is wrong with me?
We got us another Google voicemail. Who is this? Oh, this is our buddy Dom Janicek. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, Joe and Matt, this is Dom Janicek calling in with my... answer to the question of the week, which was, what's your favorite live action TV show from your childhood? And I love the question. And so I thought about it and thought about it, and then I had to go to work. And so I'm taking a break from work to call in because I couldn't narrow it down to just one TV show. So I decided to go with the classic NBC Thursday night, the must-see Thursday, that had The Cosby Show, had Family Ties. I think it had Night Court.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, Cosby Show, Family Ties, Night Court, something else that was a half hour. And
Cheers?
Then like it had Hill Street Blues Maybe. Or Saint Elsewhere. Classic TV. You just tune in and rip the knob off. You know, I had to choose between that and Airwolf, close personal favorite TV show, and the A-Team that was close in my choice as well. But no, NBC Thursday night, that's my answer, and thus Dom Janicek checking out. Thanks. Bye.
Way to get around the one answer, like a block. I like I'll accept it. I don't care. Matt's not here.
Avoids picking one answer, but I'm going to allow it because...
Must-see TV. Like, yeah.
Before night. They called it must-see TV, before that buzz phrase, right?
That came around like the Friends and
in
stuff.
In the 90s, right? But for, I don't know, it may have even been decades.
Yeah.
Thursday night on NBC...
It's huge.
...was... the biggest thing on network television. Yeah.
Millions of people watch that.
Yeah. And he's absolutely right. That's a great answer.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, the Cosby Show is still the Cosby Show. And
look, it doesn't take away the fact that I thought the Cosby Show was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, Night Court is an amazing show.
Oh, Night Court. So good.
And then in later years, you had Seinfeld and Friends and Cheers and Frasier.
Cheers and Frasier.
I don't know if Frasier was on Thursday nights, but
it was. I'm pretty sure it was on Thursday nights.
But like at the height of its power, it was like Cheers, Cosby Show, the early seasons of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And then some other friggin' thing that is not as cool as those first three things, but wonderful. For many, many, many hours of enjoyment over the years. That's a good answer, Dom.
Yeah.
We got ourselves a first-time, long-time caller here.
Oh, man. Great. I wonder who it is.
Hello, my friends. I'm a first-time, long-time caller. And, you know, for me, my favorite show is not only just my favorite show. Okay, this show is probably the most sexy, most beautiful show ever been on TV. This show is not only just my favorite and sexy beautiful. It's not only sexy beautiful for the men, but the women who watch the show. It's sexy beautiful for them as too. Not only that, not only my favorite and sexy beautiful show of all time, but this show, it is so popular, it's so impactful. It impact fashion, it impact music. It is the show of its time. It's from my childhood, my favorite show. And those people change the way they look because of this show.
Friends.
Not only that, it was so popular. People went out, they bought clothes, they bought hats with just the logo from the show on it and wore it all the time. Not only that, the music from the show was so impactful. It was so beautiful and sexy. People bought the soundtrack for this TV show. Not only the sound, they bought the second. There was two soundtracks.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
For the show that people went out and bought. This show is amazing, most beautiful, amazing show, my favorite show of all time, and that is Miami Vice. Love the show. Tell you what, changed my life, Miami Vice. This show is sexy, empowering, the action and the acting, everything in that show is amazing. I love it. Always time is beautiful. But I, you know, for Halloween, when you're as a little, first time, long time, I dress up as a Sonic Rocket. I get the haircut, I go there just like a Sonny Crockett, and I put on the clothes from the Miami. You know, yes, I got the pale blue shirt, I've got the white jacket and the flowy big pants, leaning pants and little, you know, shoes or no socks. And because I went to my school like that, it was a year and a half later, a girl, my first date I ever had, that girl, she remember I dressed like that as a kid for Halloween, for a costume. She remembered that and thought I was cute. And that is why when I asked her out, she told me she had a crush ever since she saw me.
Yeah, boy. That outfit.
So for me, Miami Vice, my favorite show, best show, all time. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Antonio Banderas with Miami Vice. I like it.
I remember Miami Vice as a kid. I never really watched it because I was too young. It was a show for grown-ups.
It was, you know, it was good. It was good. I feel like it influenced the Lethal Weapon movies a little bit.
It influenced a lot. He is right. Hair, fashion, music.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The theme song is by the legendary TV composer, Jan Hammer.
Oh, of course.
Who did so much, so many of the cheesy 80s.
The best ones.
Theme songs, yeah.
No doubt.
But yeah, you've got Crockett, you've got Tubbs, you've got a lot of pastel colors.
Got a lot of shoulder pads.
You got a lot of dudes pretending to be bad dudes, but really are secretly good dudes.
You got a lot of rolled up sleeves in those suits.
Miami Vice.
I mean, I still don't know how you keep those sleeves up in suits, but you know, whatever. I never wore those suits.
I never saw the, was it Michael Mann did the Miami Vice movie?
It was great.
With Jamie Foxx?
I liked it a lot. I didn't even care.
Who played?
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell?
Yeah. No, Colin Farrell, not Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx?
Yes.
Did they keep the same theme song?
No.
Missed opportunity.
I'm fairly certain they didn't. Michael Mann wouldn't roll like that.
Missed opportunity.
I enjoyed it. It got panned, but I liked it a lot.
First time, long time. Welcome aboard.
That's just every time. Welcome aboard. We got so many jean jackets to give out to that guy.
All right. We got Black Scorpion number 3. I don't know why I slipped into my Matthew McConaughey.
Because it's the McConaissance.
Listen, this show's been going on forever and time is a flat circle.
Nerds, I've always been a fan of the prototypical smart kid that's always working the angles in sitcoms. Alex P. Keaton? Definitely. Parker Lewis? That guy couldn't lose. But that prototype had been watered down by the likes of Mike Seaver and Zach Morris. I didn't buy either of those. But you know who I always bought as the guy working all the angles in 1980s television? Justin Bateman. Some of you might be familiar with his fast-talking character Derek in Silver Spoons, but young Justin Bateman was the star of his own sitcom in 1984 called It's Your Move. In the show, Bateman played Matthew Burton, the guy who sold exams, hired an actor to act as a substitute teacher, and who infamously booked the Dregs of Humanity to play at their high school dance. The Dregs of Humanity, by the way, they were a made-up band that was composed of skeletons from a biology classroom. I never laughed so hard at a sitcom. Something great about this show is that we see the smart kid that knows all the angles squaring off with an adult that also knows all the angles, and that's the neighbor guy. And it turns out he's just as good of a con man as Bateman is, and Bateman is always trying to prevent him from dating his mother. It's a pretty great dynamic to see two con men going at it. So Bateman was amazing, and the guys that made the show were Ron Levitt and Michael Moyer, who would later go on to make Married with Children. This is smarter, a little less trashy, but I loved it. Anyway, watch this show. Just watch it. It looks like some people have uploaded it to YouTube because it is not on DVD. Thanks, nerds. Till next time.
I have never heard of this show.
Me either. Who is Justin Bateman? Is he thinking Jason Bateman?
He might be thinking of Jason Bateman.
Is it Jason Bateman or is it Justin Bateman? Who's Justin Bateman for? Wow.
Jason Bateman.
Black Scorpion. Come on, man.
No, it's all right. It's all right. All those Batemans look alike.
Yeah, seriously.
Never heard of it. Ever. IMDb, there's not even like an image for it.
Oh my God.
On IMDb.com.
That's a deep pull then, man.
But it's got an 8.3 out of 10 rating.
Oh, that's amazing. They're all black.
23 users.
They're all Black Scorpion, the three, in his various incarnations.
People who liked It's Your Move also liked Robert Kennedy and his Times TV miniseries from 1985. God.
Wow.
I'm going to have to look that up on YouTube.
Yeah, seriously.
Because it sounds fun, and I can't believe I totally missed it.
Young Jason Bateman, that sounds great.
What channel was it on?
Oh, who knows? He brought up something I forgot about entirely, Saved by the Bell. Might have to rethink some answers.
No, Saved by the Bell. Come on now.
Come on, man. When they went to Miami, that was great.
Get out of here. All right, it's finally time. It's our final caller.
Oh, man.
It's Doc Flux.
Doc Flux.
You know that this call is going to be amazing.
It better be.
In fact, he sent a second MP3 of higher quality because that's how professional he is.
Good Lord.
What? Yeah, Doc Flux, Feated Comics in the house.
No.
About to give it to you like this. You know what I'm saying? So... the word is two-headed nerds appreciate rapping, so Doc Flux broke out a contraption and made it happen. Used to spit rhymes like you won't believe. Favorite subject to bust about is me, so let's proceed. Been known to watch some live-action TV, from the Bill Bixby Hulk to a bionic Steve McQueen. Followed Jean-Luc Picard in every Starship adventure. Even found delight the nights that Matlock changed his dentures. When I was a wee lad with teeny gonads, if I missed out on an episode of this, I would get so sad. And that would be the Muppets, a veritable cornucopia of wackiness and puppets. We can argue over what the hell Gonzo is, or how you shouldn't cross the DNA of frogs and pigs. They be singing and dancing, the jokes be cracking, even if everything out of Ozzy the Bear's mouth falls flat. Cause I like a bad pun, unlike Statler and Waldorf who refuse to have fun. Swedish Chef is struggling to put turkeys in pots, Beaker freaking out until his noggin goes pop. Kermit holds it down, keeps it under control. Everybody knows that this froggy got soul. It ain't easy being green. Train wrecks occur in almost every damn scene. Muppets show a most magical convection, a miraculous invention that stands the test of time. Rest in peace, Jim Henson. I hope I find you with the rainbow connection. That's right, the most sensational, improvisational, Muppetational show that ever existed. And that is the word, son. Take it easy, two-headed.
Wow. I feel like I should take these mics and just drop them on the floor on his behalf.
I know, right?
Wow. The Muppets. Let's just get to it. The Muppets.
Oh, the Muppets. So
yes,
good.
The Muppets is an amazing program.
Yeah.
Ahead of its time. Multi-generational appeal. Kids and adults coming together, enjoying it on different levels. The Muppets. It stands the test of time. It holds up even today. The remake looks amazing. I can't wait for the new series. Doc Flux. Look, hands down, favorite caller.
Exactly. I was just going to say the same thing. And Doc, Joe and I both know quite a few rappers that may need some opening acts on tour. If you ever want to get in touch with us about that. I'm not going to name any names right now.
Just stop it. Well done, sir. Well done.
Man, that was phenomenal.
I wasn't going to pick a favorite caller.
You got to.
I mean, because everybody named great shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even the ones I've never heard of sounded super interesting. And so I was just going to give it to Anthony's Kids.
Yeah.
Because that was awesome.
Sorry, kiddos. You just got blown up a lot.
You got upstaged by him.
You done got 8-miled.
You got 8-miled by a 30-something white guy. That was really great.
Oh, wow.
So good job, everybody. Thank you for your contributions to the show. Keith, we're not going to keep these people in suspense.
No, let's not do it.
You and I have the same answer.
We did have the same answer.
We talked about this off air.
I'm not sure if it's still the same answer.
Oh,
I might have to throw in a curveball.
All right. Well, I'm just going to get into it.
No, let me get into mine first. Cause yours is probably better anyways.
Okay. Go be my guest.
I was going to go with what Joe is going to go with, but I think after thinking about it for a little while, young Indiana Jones. I loved the young Indiana Jones. I don't know why. I mean, I know why, because it was Indiana Jones and it was a kid version of Indiana Jones. And I could, I really loved that. I wanted to be an archaeologist when I was a kid because of Indiana Jones, and that didn't work out. But yeah, so much fun. Like little kids fighting bad guys, going on adventures. Sean Patrick Flannery, I believe is who it was.
That sounds about right.
I think it was Sean Patrick.
Yeah. Boondock Saints guy.
Yeah. Oh man, I loved it. Not as good as the X-Files or what Joe's going to say, but I loved it. Really, my answer is I just wanted to be different. My answer is probably
that's fine.
Joe's. Probably Joe's answer.
That's what Matt does too.
I'm trying to keep up the taking place. I want to live in his shadow. No, I don't want to live. I can't live in his shadow. I'm way bigger than it.
My shadow is literally gigantic.
I'm not talking about yours. I'm talking about Matt's.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I stopped listening.
As you do.
As I do. So I picked a show, one that I really focused on following, not just seeing when it was on, but actively following. And while I watched and enjoyed stuff like Chips and Knight Rider and the A-Team, those were never shows that like I sat down and made a point to watch every time it was on. You know, if I happened to be home when it was on, awesome. A-Team.
You're no Dave DeMarco.
I'm no Dave DeMarco. But one of the first shows that I actively remember seeking out and wanting to see every episode and paying attention to what time and what day it was on, something that was a family affair. Like I enjoyed it with my dad. Was Star Trek The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
That show started in 1987. I was 9. As much as I enjoyed all those kind of dorky shows from the early 80s on network TV, the return of Star Trek was a huge deal to have it come back. Like I remember watching the first episode when it aired and seeing Dr. McCoy, old Dr. McCoy, wandering through the new Enterprise, talking to Data. So and he's good. Like, what are you, a Vulcan? And I still remember those moments, and I remember when they started doing the cliffhanger episodes where the one season would end on a cliffhanger and then it would pick up the next season.
That was huge.
Season two cliffhanger. Was it season two or season three? Whatever cliffhanger it was, where it ends with him becoming a Borg.
Oh yeah.
Best of both worlds, where it ends with him as Locutus.
Yeah.
About to destroy the Enterprise. I lost my mind.
Oh yeah.
I lost my goddamn mind.
I
had to wait an entire summer before I got to find out what happened. Oh man.
That was the start. That was the start of like television doing that to people.
Yeah. I loved it. I loved it so much. And it's not that, it's not that I didn't enjoy other shows. It's that that show hit me so hard that I still remember what it was like to watch it when I was a kid.
It hit everybody that hard. You know what I mean? Like, well, anybody who cares, especially even, the characters, the actors, like they still talk about it, and not because they have to. Patrick Stewart has come out and been like, working on that show is what made me a fun guy to be around and not this stodgy British actor who is super serious all the time. And I can't thank the show enough for that, because Patrick Stewart is one of my favorite people of all time now.
Right. If nothing else, if it wasn't for Star Trek The Next Generation, we probably wouldn't have the wacky misadventures of Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen.
Yes, exactly.
Which I really enjoy.
Oh, they're the best duo ever.
Great answers, everybody. Great question, Cross. Thank you all for your contributions this week. We will have another regular episode of The Two-Headed Nerd this weekend. And, of course, the answer of the week will return. A new question of the week should be up by the time you hear this.
Yes, indeed.
That question is, courtesy of Randy Andrews, what is your favorite theme song or score to a movie,
TV show,
or video game? I expanded on that a little bit.
Once you throw in movie, that's ridiculous.
Your favorite piece of music, I think we can agree that we should keep it to, again, something within our sphere of interest.
Yeah.
Something
nerdy, guys.
If your favorite score is Legends of the Fall, I guess.
Your favorite score is
whatever.
The music to Bold and the Beautiful, I don't want to hear that.
You know what? I do. Let's talk about it, man. Anything goes. It's the answer of the week. There are no rules.
That's all.
Except
true.
For the rules that we give you.
Yeah.
Keith Binder, thanks for being here.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
Matt Baum will be back next week. I'll be back next week. Until next time, this is the Two-Headed Nerd, signing off.
Bye.